The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. I have done a lot of driving over the past year or so. After not really going anywhere during the first few years of the COVID pandemic, I don't think I even left Cumberland County in the year 2020. I've driven thousands and thousands of miles during the past 14 months to conferences, to visit extended family, to go on vacation. My general rule is that if I can drive there in 8 hours or fewer, I won't fly. Too much aggravation at the airport and in the skies these days. So I've spent a lot of time on the road all over the East Coast, down south, and through a chunk of the Midwest. If you've spent any time behind the wheel, you know that there are lots of signs to pay attention to. They announce speed limits, work zones, how many miles to the next exit and which gas stations and restaurants you'll find there. There are even signs inviting you to visit attractions such as the world's largest rocking chair, which I did visit last summer in Cary, Illinois. This morning's gospel made me think of a particular kind of road sign of the last exit genre. Some last exit signs are fairly innocuous. Last exit in Ohio, for instance. But other last exit signs are meant to start creating a bit of a sense of urgency, like the ones you see for several miles before the entrance to a long tunnel. Last exit before tunnel, quarter mile later, check gas. Then repeated, last exit before tunnel, then another, check gas, and then in case you missed it, last exit before tunnel. Jesus' teachings in today's gospel feel to me a lot like those warning signs. In recent weeks, we've heard several times from our gospel writer Luke about how large crowds have gathered around Jesus and are traveling with him, and we hear it again today. Luke tells us a few verses back that the crowd numbers in the thousands, so big that people are trampling on each other. Jesus has hit the big time, and now he's got the groupies to prove it. Just think of Elvis, the Beatles, U2, or Taylor Swift, depending on your generation. It's that kind of vibe. Now, there are probably all sorts of different reasons people have left their lives behind to follow Jesus around. Some people may have heard about Jesus' miracles and want to see one for themselves, especially that miracle where he turns water into wine. That's a good one. Some people may have ailments that they hope Jesus will heal, just as he healed a centurion slave and raised a widow's son from the dead and released a man from demons that had possessed him for many years. Some people may want to hear firsthand Jesus' teachings about how the last shall be first and the first last, how the lowly will be lifted up and the hungry filled. If you were among the last, the lowly, the hungry, this would be good news you'd probably never tire of hearing. Some people may want to learn from Jesus how to live the way God wants them to live, grateful for the parables he tells about good Samaritans and foolish rich men and for his teachings on prayer. Some people might just enjoy seeing Jesus stick it to the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious authorities who are always lording it over the little people and think they know everything. Goodness, Jesus can get them going. What with his healing people on the Sabbath and hanging out with tax collectors and sinners and calling himself the Son of God, it's quite entertaining to watch. And some people may be following Jesus because they're just looking for something different to do. They're curious or bored or making an escape from an unhappy home life or always ready to follow the latest and greatest fad. But Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He knows what awaits him there. He has predicted his betrayal, suffering, and death several times now, though the people around him don't seem to understand what he's telling them. Jesus also knows that his followers will be persecuted, that they will suffer on account of his name. Last exit, he seems to be warning them today. Last exit, check your gas and get off the road if you're not going to be able to see this through with me. Of course, Jesus doesn't put it quite like that. As he does a reality check with all the people following him around the countryside, he uses rather harsh language. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. It's harsh language, yes, very harsh. But we need to hear what Jesus is saying in context, because he's trying to get everyone's attention. Jesus wants those following him around to understand that following him is not going to be all sunshine and happiness and winning. Whatever the crowds think they are going to get out of Jesus, healing, teaching, miracles, kindness, entertainment, hope, welcome, something is required also of them. Following Jesus means putting him at the center of your life above everything else you might hold dear. Following Jesus means making sacrifices, reprioritizing what's important, counting the cost, carrying a cross, giving up your possessions. Last exit. We don't know how many of the people there to hear Jesus that day stick around for the journey to Jerusalem. There are few references to crowds from this point in Luke forward, very few actually, until we get to the Passion story. How many people look at each other after Jesus speaks and say, "Well, this is where I get off. Good luck to you." How many people are shocked to hear that it's not all about what they want from Jesus, but also about what Jesus wants from them? How many people step back and count the cost like the builder or the king in Jesus' parable did and decide the cost is too much? And they are taking that exit. There's always an exit in front of us, too. A chance to detour from the kind of life Christ calls us to live, a life caring for our neighbor and our enemy, forgiving those who have wronged us, even the ones we feel are unforgivable, standing against injustice, persecution, violence, racism, homophobia, a life of letting go of those things that make us comfortable and secure and putting the cross, a symbol of suffering and sacrifice, at the center of our lives. Yes, there is always an exit from that hard work of discipleship. But there's also always a road in front of us. It's the road of love and mercy and forgiveness and compassion and hope and joy. It's the road that leads to a cross, yes. But thanks be to God, also leads to an empty tomb. It's the road Christ, our Savior, has walked before. The road he promises to walk with us always. Amen.